May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A scripture that's fascinated me for some period of time now, the last particularly year or so, has been one from John 15. And in this chapter and the last part of chapter 14, it's repeatedly said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's either intimated that way or said clearly. As a matter of fact, in verse 22 of chapter 14, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him." When John chapter 15, it says in verse 10, well, I'll just start in verse 9. "Just as the Father has loved me," Jesus said, "I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, what that verse can't mean is that as long as Jesus kept the commandments of his Father loved him. But if he didn't keep the commandments, his Father didn't love him. That can't be so. He had an eternal relationship with his Father, and that love was inseparable. The same thing's true for you and me. God has sealed you for himself. His love for you is unconditional. His acceptance of you is unconditional. Now, the degree that you walk in his favor may have something to do with obedience and your life lived in him. But again, that has nothing to do with whether God loves you in the sense of, like I would love my son. I've used this example before. I've got two sons. If one of them got put in prison, I would not stop loving him. But he might not be able to abide in the atmosphere and the realm of my love. I may not be able to show him the kind of practical expressions of my love I would to my other son who's free and who's lived a life of obedience. You with me? It's kind of like the story of the prodigal son. He obviously didn't love the prodigal son less than the older brother, because when the prodigal son returned and he caught sight of him, the father ran to him and kissed him again and again on his neck and threw this great party for him. But there were things he couldn't do for his prodigal son as long as his prodigal son was living a life of independence and rebellion. There are blessings and favor that couldn't be known as the older son could know in the realm of the father's household, in the presence of his father, who could express his love in all kinds of practical ways. You with me? And that's why he says in verse 22 of 14, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my commandments, and my Father will love him." He's speaking to disciples. Well, the Father loved them, but it's living in the realm of that love. "And we will come to him and make our abode with him." Again, verse 15, chapter 15, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 9, "Just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love." That's a different kind of dynamic than for me to say, "Father Pacello, God loves you." And you go, "I know he loves me." But I would just say, "Are you abiding in his love?" The word abide means to remain. Are you abiding in that realm? It's actually the word for abode. Have you made your dwelling place an atmosphere of the realm of God's love? And so I've been praying a lot lately, "God, show me what that means." And I think it means a lot of things, but one thing it does mean is we bring the relationship we have with Jesus down to something that's very personal. A lot of times when we sin, we're concerned, "Oh goodness, I have grieved the Holy Spirit. I know that he loves me, but I've grieved him, and so in grieving him, I've limited him in terms of how much of his favor and blessing I can know." And that's true. Scripture makes that very clear. We talked about that around here for about 3 weeks just recently. But the motivation for not sinning can't be just, though it's one of them, or primarily, though it's part of it, that if I sin, I'm not going to get some stuff from you. Your hand's not going to be on me. If I keep sinning in a place, that's true. We can't live a life of disobedience while expecting a full measure of God's blessing and favor released in our lives. That's an abuse of grace. But here's something I want you to see. First, from Ezekiel chapter 6. This passage has always kind of blown me away. It says in verse 9, "Then those of you who escape," speaking of the Israelites, their unfaithfulness, "will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts which turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols." You see, God is a person. He has emotions. He has will. He has a mind. Those are the things that make up persons. Now, he's infinite person. Our very description, historically, the Trinity is one God, a God who's of one essence and one substance manifested in three persons. God's a person. And as person, we know that throughout Scripture is manifested, he has feelings. He created us for him. And he created us to have a love relationship with him. The God who's love created us to reciprocate that love back to him. And when he says in verse 9, he says, their rebellion, their sin, hurt me. And the word there, the Hebrew word, means broken, to be crushed, to be shattered, to have a broken heart. You see, there are people in your lives that on a regular basis, you might think to say something to them or do something, and you choose to not do it because you know it would hurt them. You with me? That happens with us all the time. I'm going to yield here, or I'm not going to do this here, because I know if I do that, it's going to hurt you. And I love you, and I don't want to see you hurt. We have to bring our relationship with Jesus out of some legalistic, judicial relationship and bring it back to a personal place and say, I choose obedience here. I choose surrender here. I choose to not do that thing because if I do, it will hurt you. In Psalm 69, if you've been around CTK a while, this is a familiar psalm. When Jesus said on the cross, I thirst, the language there, I continually thirst. It wasn't that Jesus was physically thirsty. He knew he was going to be in the presence of his Father soon, and physical thirst wasn't going to be an issue. When Jesus cried out from the cross, we're going to talk about that a lot this Wednesday night, and he said, I thirst, he was talking about the infinite thirst of God for love. He was defining all that he had just been through and why he went through it, because God thirsts for love. He thirsts for us to receive his love and to reciprocate his love. And when he said that, he was quoting Scripture, Psalm 69. It says in Psalm 69, verse 20, reproach, our sin, God said, has broken my heart, and I am so sick. It's love sick. I'm heart sick. He says, your reproach has broken my heart, and I am so lovesick. And I looked for one that would grieve, that would have pity, that would mourn over my broken heart. And I found none. And I looked for one that would comfort my thirsting heart for love, and I found none. They also gave gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That passage from Ezekiel 6 says that when we sin, we hurt him. And what he says from the cross is, I'm looking for one who will grieve over my lovesick heart, who will mourn over my pain that your sin, that mankind's sin has caused me. And then I'll look for one who will comfort my lovesick heart by quenching my thirst for love. Jesus said, it's not just our expressions of love and adoration, telling him in praise and worship. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That at least has something to do with abiding in his love. Living in that realm of his palpable love. Jesus said he lived, he abided in the Father's love. And all the things that you see Jesus manifesting, all those works of the Father, are all because Jesus abided, remained, stayed in the realm of his Father's love. And when somebody that powerful loves you, it just shows up in all kinds of things in your life. All expressions of favor. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.